Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, because he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far.
Duron's first son, Chase, is a Lego-loving, sports-playing boy's boy. Her younger son, CJ, would much rather twirl around in a pink tutu with a Disney princess in each hand while singing Lady Gaga. For more than half of his life, CJ hasn't conformed to traditional gender norms. He is gender variant or gender non-conforming, or as CJ puts it, he's a boy who only likes girl stuff and wants to be treated like a girl. She writes about this in her new book, Raising My Rainbow, Adventures in Raising a Fabulous Gender Creative Son. And we welcome Lori Duron to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you on the program. The book came out of a blog that you have written. How old is your son and when did you start writing about this?
He's 6 and a half. He discovered Barbie when he was about 2 and a half, almost 3, and I started writing the blog when he was almost 4. So there was about a year in between him finding Barbie and deciding that he only liked girl stuff and dressing like a girl. There was about a year in between that and me actually starting the blog.
You write about this in the book, but at what point do you start to get involved in the sense of watching the behavior and then accepting it? And in some ways, perhaps trying to alter the behavior?
Well, it's definitely been an evolution to get to the point where we are today, where we're really just following his lead. At first, there were lots of conversations that I had with my husband, you know, behind closed doors, trying to figure out what was going on and what it all meant. And we definitely parented differently. In the beginning, we would try to set boundaries, like he could play with the girl toys at home, but not take him in the car, and then he could take him in the car, but not to the final destination. You know, we were drawing all of these weird lines and boundaries, trying to kind of contain it. So that was definitely how we spent the first couple months. You know, it took a while to get a grasp on that, you know, we didn't get what we expected when we had a child.
One of the fascinating things about the book is what we consider to be these gender norms, that there is the toy aisle for the girls on the left and the boys on the right. It's very segmented. And for your son, that's all up in the air. That's all out the window.
Right. The gender neutral toys that they have, you know, for babies and infants kind of go away at age 2 and a half, which is right around the age when a child will start exhibiting gender nonconforming behavior, if they are gender nonconforming. But we say that we'd been hiding the pink aisles from him because we had boys. So we went down the blue aisles if we went down the toy aisles at all.
And then you try to put a label on it and you come up with gender neutral. And I'm interested in how you arrived at that.
We were trying to put a label on it, trying to understand. And at first, actually, my initial reaction was he's effeminate and he's going to be gay, because I grew up with a brother who, as a little child, was gender nonconforming at heart. He was effeminate and he later identified as gay. So I thought that's what was happening until I started my blog and my readers informed me this isn't about sexuality, this is about gender. So I really had to learn the distinct differences between sex, gender, and sexuality. And I'm so thankful for my readers for explaining all of that to me, because I didn't know. So he's been on the gender spectrum. He's at times seemed gender neutral and at times seemed very gender dysphoric or gender nonconforming. And then at times we've really considered that he's possibly transgender.
Did school change things?
Yeah, every year it seems to change things, because we never know what his teacher is going to be like and what his classmates are going to be like. his preschool when he was age 3 and 4 were great. It was a really loving environment, as preschools and classrooms for that age group seemed to be. Pre-kindergarten was a tough year, and that had to do solely with his classmates. Kindergarten was excellent, and now we just started, we're on the 6th day of first grade, and we've had some bumps along the road already.
And without invading your privacy, what kind of bumps?
Well, he carries what people think is a girl's backpack, although we tell him that backpacks are for everyone. So he's been teased for his backpack. He bought a lunchbox from the girls' section, and so he was so nervous that he was going to get teased the first day that he took all of his lunch, everything out of the lunchbox and carried it in his arms to the lunch tables instead of carrying his lunchbox. So he needs to get used to every year his classmates, and they have to get used to him to know, oh, that's just CJ. And that usually happens around October or November, but there's definitely some adjustments till everyone gets to that point and is comfortable with each other.
And when we talk about adjustments, is he ever inclined to adjust, to realize that there is going to be teasing involved and to conform with the other children to get what would be considered a quote-unquote boy's lunchbox?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, since he was 4 years old, he's woken up every morning and said, are the kids going to tease me today? And that's what breaks my heart as a mother, because I can't answer that truthfully. I don't know every day. And he does conform. He self-edits when he leaves the house. He's always wearing boy clothes. Granted, they're usually the most effeminate clothing from the boys section, so they'll be really like super skinny jeans, and he wears Tom's shoes, and he'll wear lots of pink and purple. So he definitely does conform, and some days he feels like it's worth it to maybe wear something that's from the girls' section, and then some days he doesn't. But he has really started to self-edit when he goes out of the house.
You write in the book about the stress and anxiety of for you as parents of dealing with this. I'm also interested in that of his brother.
Well, and that's something that we didn't anticipate that we should have. So the minute CJ picked up that Barbie, and that's what bothered us the most, was we knew he was going to be teased and he was going to be bullied if this kind of behavior continued. What we didn't anticipate is that his older brother Chase would have to go through the teasing and the bullying first, because people, you know, kids, his peers would see his younger brother CJ playing with a doll and wearing a tutu. So Chase actually in second and third grade had to endure quite a bit of bullying, and then eventually in halfway through third grade was talking about suicide. That's how bad it had gotten. And so we've switched schools. We had to talk to our school district and our school administrators, who were not great about handling our children and the situations that they bring. But, you know, they say it takes a village to raise a child, a gender nonconforming child. But sometimes that's not what the sibling wants to do. That's not what they want to spend their time doing. So we're very careful with Chase that our whole life isn't based around gender, and that, you know, that's not what he has to deal with 24/7.
And his relationship with his brother, is he understanding or is there anger?
He's so understanding. CJ really did get the best big brother. Chase is great. Once at age 8, we told Chase, your brother's gender nonconforming, there's a name for it, and there's other kids like this, because he just kept saying, when is my brother going to be more like a brother? When is my brother going to be more like a boy? But once he knew there was a name for it, then he's been great ever since. And he stands up for him, and he protects him, and he worries about him. We just don't want him to feel like that's his job and that that's his only job.
And you don't ultimately know, and you touched on this a moment ago, but you don't ultimately know how this journey will turn out. Will he be a part of the LGBTQ community? Will he not be? Will he be gay? Will he be transgender? And obviously you don't know that.
We don't, and that's what's really hard, especially as parents. I mean, we want to know, and a lot of parents, you know what's in store for their child as far as their gender, at least. But we have 2 boys right now. We have 2 sons. But in a couple years or in a year or many years, we could have a son and a daughter, because CJ may be transgender. So that's what's really hard for us. to just sit back and have a wait-and-see approach. But kids who are gender nonconforming, statistically speaking, are 75% more likely to be a part of the LGBTQ community. So he could be straight, absolutely. Statistically, he has a higher chance of being gay, and then he also could be transgender. He could be our daughter one day.
When seeking advice, does it come from a pediatrician? Does it come from a psychologist or psychiatrist?
We, our pediatrician's definitely part of our team, and she's been great. And then we also have a gender therapist who we visit, and we see her about once a month, and then we'll check in with her. And she has really changed our lives so that we can parent him more consistently and deal with our own fears and work together as a family to just be a really healthy family, especially when it comes to gender and sexuality and sex.
It really is interesting in the book because it's so illuminating, because it seems like it's you know, okay, it's a character trait, but yet it influences just about every aspect of your life and his life.
Everything, especially, I mean, certain times he'll get hyper-focused on gender. There were times when he was asking, is this soap for girls or for boys? And, you know, of course, things are marketed, even down to soap and toothpaste, is marketed towards girls and boys. But he was asking it about everything. Is this soap? Is this toothpaste? Is this toilet paper? And I remember that moment because it was like, finally, toilet paper. It's one thing that is not marketed to girls or to boys, that toilet paper is for everyone across the board. But so, yeah, he does tend to get hyper-focused on gender.
So the difference is when he starts talking about sexuality, right? I mean, that will be the identifier.
Right. I mean, it's very age-appropriate terms. He understands what it means to be transgender, and he understands what it means to be gay. And he hasn't identified as transgender. He hasn't told us that he's transgender. And he hasn't told us that he's gay. But all of those things, all of those things could happen.
Right. And many times you hear for people who are gay say, okay, well, I knew when I was 5 or 6 years old. But that could come much later as well.
Right. And I've heard a lot of them say, I knew I was different. And
yeah.
CJ definitely knows he's different. I don't know if he's put together. I just don't think he's attracted to anyone. I know he's friends with only girls, and they all want to marry him. And he doesn't want to marry them. He likes them, and he tries to be very nice when they propose on the playground. But, yeah, he doesn't have a sexuality yet.
Nor should he, in the sense of you would just want him to be a kid.
Right, absolutely. I mean, if he were gay, straight, or whatever, either way, I want him to be a kid. I don't want him to be focused on relationships and all of that right now. I think he's a little bit young.
But you have your anxiety, and obviously there's question marks out there that you'd love to be answered, but they may be answered in the next year. They may be answered in 10 years.
Yeah, and that's the hardest part, too, just for me as a person. I like to know what's going to happen. I've always been a planner, and if I see a problem, I want to attack it and figure out a solution and get things handled. And CJ has definitely taught me to be more patient than I'm programmed to be, and this whole wait-and-see approach and following his lead to see where he's taking us is hard for me as a person, but it's also, I think, made me a better person for sure.
Raising My Rainbow is the name of the new book, Adventures in Raising a Fabulous Gender Creative Son. It is published by Broadway. Lori Duron, I thank you very much for spending time and sharing your story with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is Raising My Rainbow. It's published by Broadway. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.